Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. The information we present is taken from the writings of Benjamin Krem, a disciple of a Master of Wisdom, and also from teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. We include teachings from many schools of thought to demonstrate how they are working out in the world. Our articles are often inspiring. We hope to inform the public of actions taken around the globe to improve conditions for us all and to find means of addressing some of our most pressing problems.
Good morning, one and all, and welcome to the Maitreya program. It's lovely to have you with us today. In this week's program, for the benefit of people new to this information, we'll be quoting from Benjamin Krem's commentary on the emergence of the world teacher. These extracts have been sourced from his book, The Great Approach. Benjamin Krem begins by saying, "This information is about the total transformation of every aspect of our lives, political, economical, religious, social, scientific, cultural, educational, and personal. If what I say is true, the current ways of thinking, living, relating, and expressing our inner selves will be fundamentally altered in the time ahead." Most people know that we are entering a new era, a new cosmic cycle, the Age of Aquarius. It is the result of the movement of our solar system around the heavens in relation to the constellations of the zodiac. This journey takes about 25,000 to 26,000 years to complete. Approximately every 2,150 years, therefore, our sun comes into an alignment, an energetic relationship with each of the constellations in turn. When our sun is in that alignment, we say we are in the age of that particular constellation. For the last 2,000 plus years, that relationship has been with the constellation Pisces. We have been in the age of Pisces, which was inaugurated by Jesus in Palestine 2,000 years ago. All the close disciples of Jesus knew the true purpose of his mission was to inaugurate the age of Pisces, set in motion the ideas and energies which, as humanity responded to them, would create the civilization which is now coming to an end. We are living at the end of the civilization of Pisces, at the very difficult transitional period between the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius. The early Christian iconography has the fish as its symbol. This dominates the entire gospel story. The symbol of the fish is the age-old symbol for Pisces. The age of Pisces has come to an end and the new age has begun. The energies of Pisces began to recede in 1625 and the energies of Aquarius began to come in and affect our planet in 1675. For the last 300 plus years, we have been in the age of Aquarius, responding each day a little more to these incoming energies, which have a very different effect on humanity than those of Pisces. As we have responded to them, the energies of Pisces have created the world we see with all its divisions, the world which is now fast fading as these energies recede, as the sun moves away from the sphere of influence of Pisces, and as the institutions therefore fall apart. They have become crystallized, bereft of energy, and so are crumbling away before our very eyes. The energy of Pisces and the energies of Aquarius are now roughly equal, and that is our problem. If one or the other dominated, life would be simpler. Because of their equality of tension, they present humanity with major decisions. Do we hold on to the old selfish, individualistic ways of the past with all the self-seeking and greed that represents? Or do we look for new ways to live and relate that will better express the quality of the incoming energy of Aquarius, which is synthesis? This is easier for younger people and much more difficult for those who are older and who, if they are in a favourable position in social life, like what life has given them so far and are fearful of losing it. So they resist change. The world is divided, therefore, into two groups. The conservative reactionary groups holding on, fighting a last ditch, standing against change, and the newer, younger, progressive groups responding more to the quality and energy of Aquarius. That confrontation can be seen in political, economic, religious, and social spheres in every country of the world. It leaves humanity with great decisions to make because the world is in a very perilous state. Politically, there are enormous tensions that could devastate the world, erupt into nuclear war, and destroy all life on the planet, which we now can do many times over. Economically, there are structures which are so unjust and negative in their effects on the majority of people that we should be rid of them immediately. Religiously, there are oppositions and confrontations which belie the fact that all religions stem from the same spiritual source, the masters of wisdom and the lords of compassion, the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. This group of perfected men has stood behind the scenes of life from the earliest time and beneficently guided, protected, and stimulated humanity in its long evolutionary journey from early animal man and woman up to the present time. Sometimes they have worked more openly, but for the last 98,000 years, with very few exceptions, they have lived in the remote mountain and desert areas of the world. From these mountain and desert areas, working mainly through their disciples, men and women in the world, they have beneficently overseen our evolution with the total unconditional love and service which they alone can display. They have brought humanity to the readiness of a new revelation, a revelation about the nature of the reality in which we live, which we call God, and the resonance of that in ourselves, so we shall know more about the reality of divination and our own divine nature. The masters are those who have gone ahead of us in evolution, who, as ordinary men and women, have completed the evolutionary journey and need no further incarnation on planet Earth, for whom this Earth is simply a field of service. The masters take upon themselves the duty and role of serving humanity. They are our guides and teachers, the inspirers of those who are ready for that inspiration. They are protectors of humanity, the shield, as Maitreya calls it, and from the earliest time they have never left humanity without guidance. The extraordinary thing is that humanity has never been alone. Never in all our history have we been without help from behind the scenes or quite openly. Our entire evolution over these millions of years has taken place step by step without infringing our free will. So it has tended to be slow. With the help of such a group of perfected men and, of course, their predecessors. It was 98,000 years ago in the late Atlantean era that the masters last worked openly in the world. With the end of the war that devastated the Atlantean civilization and part of the continent, of which North and South America are remnants, the masters retreated into the mountains and deserts where they have remained ever since. A few have been more open, but very few. They are beginning to take up their places in the world in ways that will allow us to know and recognize them as the masters, the teachers, the guides of the race. This is the most extraordinary event which you could contemplate, and it is happening now. Maitreya said in June 1945 that he would come when a measure of peace had been restored, when the principle of sharing was beginning to govern economic affairs, and when the religious and political groups were cleaning house, setting their affairs in order. As soon as our minds were moving in these directions, he said he would come, without fail, at the earliest possible time. It was hoped that the pain and suffering, the ghastly conditions of the war, would have chastened us and led to a change of direction. But not all the nations had suffered, and not equally, and the great powers quickly went back to the old, greedy, selfish, competitive, nationalistic ways of Pisces, the ways of the past. To make sure that we take the right steps and change, Maitreya and his group have come into the world actually ahead of schedule. They thought it might be in 1,200 years' time, but the emergency is so great that they have come now. Maitreya hoped it would be in 1950, but it was not until July 1977 that he was able to descend from his mountain. He said then, "I am coming whether they are ready or not. The changes have taken place just enough to come within the law." He descended from his mountain retreat about 17,500 feet up in the Himalayas and came down to the plains of Pakistan. Maitreya stayed there for some days to acclimatize himself. And the 19th of July, 1977, he entered London, England. He remains in the Asian community of that city, which he calls his point of focus in the modern world. From there, he directs his energies to all parts of the world in a highly scientific fashion, which only he is able to do. He is awaiting an opportunity to come forward and declare himself openly to the world as the world teacher, not as the Christ, not as Maitreya Buddha, not as the Imam Mahdi, nor as Krishna or the Messiah. These are all names for the same individual, the leader and head of our spiritual hierarchy, who, age after age, has presented humanity with this link with the spiritual kingdom. The hierarchy is the kingdom of souls or the spiritual kingdom. In Christian terms, the kingdom of God. These men are not gods, but they are God-like men. Everyone has the total potential of divinity within them. The masters are not different from us. The only difference between the masters and ourselves, between the Christ, the Buddha, or Krishna and ourselves, is that they have demonstrated the divinity at a level which astounds and inspires, while we are way down the ladder of evolution, awaiting the time when we can do the same thing. It does not happen by waiting, only by actually doing it. All of us, whether we know it or not, are engaged on a path of evolution, which eventually will make everyone a master. It is inevitable. It is part of our destiny as human beings. The next destined step for humanity is the creation of right human relationships. That means the demonstration of our ability to live in peace. If we cannot live in peace, we cannot live at all, because a war today on a major scale would destroy all life. So the first step into right human relations is the creation of conditions of peace. Maitreya says this is simple, but there is only one way in which we can produce peace. That is to create justice in the world. Without justice, there will never be peace. And without peace, there will be no world. How then do we get justice? We share the resources. There are more than enough resources for all the people in the world. When we share, Maitreya says, we take the first step into our divinity. He says sharing, freedom, and justice are divine. These are all divine aspects, and that to manifest his divinity, man must embrace these three. Mr. Krem continues by saying that Maitreya is emerging forthwith. When the stock market does collapse, as soon as it is obvious that it is on its final plunge, Maitreya will emerge. He has already taken up an invitation to appear on a major television network in the US, then in Japan, and since then in many other countries wide. Ultimately, all the networks will want to interview this extraordinary man. During these interviews, he hasn't been introduced as the Christ or world teacher, but simply as a man among men, one of the extraordinary potency, wisdom, obvious love, and concern for the people of the world. Not just one group, but all people, wherever they are, whoever they are, at whatever level. They will listen to him. His voice will be heard. He will reflect the need of the majority of the human race for justice and freedom, for the right to live decent lives, which most of us in the West take for granted. When enough people are responding to his message, they will demand that the networks of the world allow him to speak and develop his ideas more fully to the vast majority. Then the television networks will be linked together by satellite. This will be the most extraordinary event of all our lives. the most extraordinary event in history, like none other before it in its scope. The day of declaration will be announced by the media. People will tune in at the given time and see Maitreya's face, by now well known. As it says in the Christian Bible, every eye shall see him. They are in place for this event, so that for the first time in history, the world teacher can address every individual directly, needing no churches or priests to act as intermediaries. Maitreya is omniscient, omnipresent. He will come into telepathic report with every individual, and each will hear him inwardly in his or her own language. This will be a repetition, only now on a worldwide scale, of the true happening of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. He will present a short history of the world, our journey from the extraordinary level from which we have come to the degradation to which we have fallen. He will urge us to change, inspire us with a view of the future, a future like none that has ever been presented to the world, the most wonderful, beautiful, and extraordinarily brilliant civilization that this earth has ever seen. With the sharing of the world's resources, all things become possible. Sharing creates trust. When there is trust among the nations, there will be peace among the nations. On the day of declaration, Maitreya will outline all of this. While he is conveying his thoughts to humanity, Maitreya's energy, the Christ principle, will flow out in tremendous potency. He has said, "It will be as if I embrace the whole world. People will feel it even physically." This will evoke an intuitive, heartfelt response to his message. On the outer physical plane, there will be hundreds of thousands of spontaneous miracle healings throughout the planet. In these ways, you will know that the One is the Christ. If that is whom you await, the Imam Mahdi, if you are Muslim, Krishna, if you are Hindu, the Messiah, if you are Jewish, Maitreya Buddha, if you are a Buddhist, the world teacher, for all those who await him under no name, but simply have called him into the world to help humanity face the future, restore and regenerate itself, and enter the new age in fitting fashion for the gods, which essentially we are. And that concludes Benjamin Krem's commentary sourced from his book, The Great Approach, which, by the way, the Share International website describes as follows. The energy that emanates from this book is electrifying. One can almost see the future stretching ahead for humanity. It appeals to the heart and inspires our highest aspiration. In a most original and convincing way, it moves from idealism and expressed goodwill to the practical means of bringing the new structures into being. An extraordinary synthesis of knowledge, it throws a searchlight on the future. With clear vision, it predicts our highest achievements of thought to reveal the amazing scientific discoveries which lie ahead. It shows us a world in which war is a thing of the past and the needs of all are met. It is indeed a message of hope for the world. And that concludes our reading for today, and thank you so much for listening. Now, if you'd like some more information, you may go to our website, which is share-international.org. Well, that was a hyphen, I should say, share-international.org. Or you may email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you so much for listening to us, and love and blessings to you all. Thank you.